two great biblical stories today, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, both stories with a common theme, God's generosity and human grumbling. In the first story, the Israelites delivered by God from Pharaoh's slavery to freedom are soon complaining when they are hungry. They have no food. And they turn to Moses and Aaron no longer as hero liberators, but as a complaints department. In Jesus' parable, the grumbling enters the story as well. This time, the once happy to be employed and paid workers are now upset that others who worked less are paid the same. I know what you're thinking. Same thing as one of the commentators said. God seems to be, in this passage, a lousy bookkeeper. Two stories, one from the old, one from the new. Both stories talk about a generous God and a grumbling, complaining people. I had a favorite repair shop where I used to live. And it was a kind of place that had such a neat waiting room that you just like to take the car there. Not to spend money on the car, but just to hang out with Dennis and Joyce. They were just great folks, always friendly. And their showroom had all kinds of automotive, tire, motor, cool stuff for kids and older kids to enjoy looking at and seeing. And I must say, though, my toddler boys at the time loved to play with all the stuff, and they'd see something different in that shop every time they went. My favorite was on the service counter, right there by the cash register where you reviewed your bill and then signed your credit card. Right there was a World War II era hand grenade. And it had the clip still in it. And it was mounted to a little wooden plaque that said, "Complaints Department, please pull for service." I never did. Are you the kind of person that sees the cup half empty or half full? Actually, complaining and grumbling aren't all that bad. They serve a purpose. There was a great book when I was in grad school called The Dance of Anger. In it, the author Harriet Lerner writes, "Anger is a signal, and it's a signal worth paying attention to." The Israelites are angry. Why? They are hungry. They have no food. And so they grumble and complain. Had they not been angry and spoken up, they might never have been fed. It's a good thing they turned to Moses and expressed their need. And can you blame the laborers in the vineyard story of Jesus who grumbled against the landowner? I don't blame them. For the same pay, they worked much longer hours. At the start of the day, they were happy with what they got, but when they saw what others got at the end of the day, those others who only worked an hour, that's no way to handle payroll. You know that. If you really had an issue with your car or your bill at Dennis and Joyce's Peck Tire Car Repair on the Golden Strip in Williamsport, they didn't refer you to their hand grenade complaints department. They fixed the bill. If there was still a problem with your car, they took care of it. It's just good business. Our Bible stories today are provocative, and I think they're both unsettling because they say something about the human conditioning, wanting fairness, but also struggling with God's generosity. There's a New Testament professor who teaches out in Texas at Austin Theological Seminary, and he says, this parable is a disturbing parable because it raises issues that it doesn't resolve. It puts justice and generosity next to each other. And those two live in tension. Poor Oliver Twist. Do you remember what happens? The kid at his dining table, make him go, and he's got to go make that long walk down the the dining hall and to those scary-looking adults in authority and say, "Please, sir, may I have some more porridge?"
More porridge?
"Yes, sir, may I have some more?"
Get him, scold him, beat him, hold him. Little Oliver runs. There's no such thing as a complaints department at that orphanage. Oliver runs for his life and finally runs away from that orphanage which on its dark stone walls says, "God is love." I say, don't ever be timid about speaking up for what you need, what you're angry about, what you want to see happen. It's a quality called assertiveness. It's not aggressiveness. It's not selfishness. It's simply giving voice to that which is important to you. Without it, relationships can't be healthy. Without it, there's no honest dialogue in the world. Last fall, children's ministry got assertive. They started grumbling. There were a lot of couples having babies. And the congregation's nursery was the oldest part of the building. And it had a mildew smell because the carpets had been flooded so often. They were not only stained, they were mildewy. And when you entered that space of those small rooms with its older furnishings and its cement block walls, the first sign you saw said mechanical room. And children's ministry said, "Can't we do a little better than that?" And I said, "Absolutely not. I grew up with that, and kids today need to go through it too." Now they begin to say, "Can't we do better? Isn't there a way?" The good thing is they didn't take that complaint and say, "Well, we're just going to go to another church that's Disney World and has everything we already need." They rolled up their sleeves and they said, "We want to help this church get better. We want to help this church invest in children. We want to help this church grow its children's ministry and improve." It would have been far easier to go somewhere else where the nursery's just been renovated. No, they stayed. They stuck around and they kept grumbling. And their grumbling led to positive action. The church leaders put it before the congregation, and the congregation responded with dozens and dozens of financial gifts totaling some $70,000, and gifts of equipment, and gifts of labor, and gifts of love and prayer. And you should see that space now, all because the grumblers spoke up. Thank you. I wish more grumbling would happen from the church. I wish more church members would grumble about the opioid and heroin addiction that is ravaging the lives of our own and nearby. I wish more people would complain about the human traffickers taking young girls especially and selling them for profit. Not just at the airport, but in our schools and out of our communities. I wish more people would speak up and grumble about the fact that mental health care needs to improve and there's too much pressure and untreated depression and youth are taking their lives. We had another suicide in the community this week. I wish we would speak up on behalf of the young adults who are treated fairly well and supported with special needs until they get out of school. And then there's nowhere to work in the community. There's nowhere to socialize. How do families get that support? I want people to see the need in the world and speak up with righteous anger, not to run away, but to make things better. There are hungry people. There are homeless people. There are needs nearby. And that's why I think why somebody said to me this week, "The hope I have for the world can be found in the local church." That's the gathering of people who care and who want to take whatever God has given us, whatever eyes and anger and needs we see, and apply our influence and our time and our talents and our prayers to address the situation. Isn't that what Jesus did all the time with people in need that he met? Transform the need with God's grace and care. Had the Israelites not complained, I don't think God would have done anything for them. That doesn't sound right to me, but I think if you read the story, that's how it reads. If the Israelites never complain and ask for help, God never seems to remember or act. With Aubrey's help, I'm going to ask you to hear that. Take a look at your Old Testament, Exodus chapter 2. She's going to read 23 through 25. And just listen to how it's the complaints of the people that prompt God to act.
After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them.
What I love about the biblical narrative and the story of God delivering Israel is that it reminds us that the Israelites had agency. They had the power to act, the power to pray, the power to speak up, the power to cry out. They had the power to do. And as God delivered them from Pharaoh's hand, we remember that it was the people's crying out and giving voice to their discontent and their anger that triggered the whole salvation event. Martin Luther King was arrested for speaking out. He was in a Birmingham jail in 1963. He had been arrested for nonviolent civil disobedience. And King felt the need to write letters from the Birmingham jail because there were colleagues in the church telling him just to stop the movement and let the court settle things and just keep to your sanctuary. And King said that the church could not tolerate the status quo because there was a social injustice and it was not right to back off or to lose your voice or to hide behind stained glass windows. He wrote, "We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. Freedom must be demanded by the oppressed. Give voice to the anger. One not only has a moral responsibility to obey just laws," he wrote, "but conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. Give voice. Speak up." And then, citing the complacency of the church, which preferred a peaceful status quo that was unjust to the trouble brewing for justice, he said this: "Far too many Christians have been cautious rather than courageous. They have remained silent behind their stained glass windows, which have lulled them to sleep. When something important needs to be addressed or done, let God's people find their voice, trust their eyes and ears and experience of the need, and engage. Don't wait for somebody else to handle the problem. Don't just pray about the problem. Give your arms and legs and efforts to it as well. When you see a problem, I say don't quit and go somewhere else where the problem doesn't exist. Stick to it and make it better where you are. Life is made meaningful not by what you get, but by what you give. Life is made worthy when you roll up your sleeves and you say, there's something I care about and I want to make it better. Write a congresswoman. Drop a note to a councilman. Read the local paper, the national paper, the international paper. Be engaged. Be assertive. Take action." Two parables asking us to engage in issues of what's just and what's gracious and fair and generous. Well, since we started the day with two stories from Scripture. Let me end my message with two stories, a parable, if you will. A family moves to town, and they decide to go church shopping. They found one church to be too big and another church to be too small. One is too close to home, but the other's too far away. One's too conservative, the other's too liberal. One's too contemporary, the other is too traditional. One has too many old people, the other doesn't have any adults. They stop the search. They couldn't find one. Another family, who already lived in town, decided to engage more deeply in their community. They had work, they had entertainment, they had school, they had sports, but they felt they were missing something. So looking for ways to make a difference, they engaged with a local congregation. A lot of it they enjoyed at first. A lot of it they didn't understand. Some of it they didn't like. And they saw lots that needed to be improved. So they joined. And with their prayers, and with their efforts, and with their talents, they sought to make a difference. Of those two families, which one has a cup that's half full? Which one has a cup half empty? Golly, I miss my grandmother who gave me that offering plate. I miss so much about her. I think what I miss most is the way she, I only knew her as a widow who raised five kids on a school teacher's salary. I don't know how she did that. I know that when the church newsletter wasn't very good, she volunteered to be the editor. I know that after teaching a whole career in English and French, when she saw the need in the school system, she offered to serve on the school board. She was just that kind of person, making a difference. She sent me a letter when I was 18 years old. I think I had just gone off to college. And here's what she advised me. Every person on earth is special and unique. Every person God gives talents and skills to. We should use our skills and our talents to make the world better and our lives whole. I think we should remove the word problem from our language and substitute the word opportunity. You see, you never really have a problem. All you have is an opportunity to use the gifts and the skills God has given you to try to make things better. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.